Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you. You may fill one out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. A special welcome, too, to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. We are glad you are with us. At this time, I'd encourage you all to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign your name and pass your neighbor so you can greet anyone you don't know by name during the peace or following worship. You can see in the inside cover of your bulletin, we have announcements of upcoming events, and there's a calendar of events near the back. There's one announcement I want to make this morning, which is that Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. This is our observance of Ash Wednesday, and so we will be holding our Ash Wednesday worship service here in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. Childcare will be available in the nursery. The service will be about 45 minutes, include celebration of the Lord's Supper and the imposition of ashes. And so as we enter the season of preparation for Easter and the heart of our faith, we hope that you can join us in as we begin our preparations here at First Presbyterian Church. Now I'd like to open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know on March 21st is the 5th annual Color Me Healed run that's put on by Southeast High School. It's a 5K color run to raise money for HLH research. HLH is an autoimmune disease that affects the organs in the body. One of Southeast's own was defeated by HLH a few years ago, and this race is put in on her honor because her goal was always to save the next one. And by doing this, we're able to do research so she is able to meet her goal even as she resides in heaven. If you would like to register, you can register online or ask me for more information. And it's on March 21st at 8:30 a.m. on the Southeast campus. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emma. Are there any others? Then let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. From Psalm 104, Bless the Lord, O my soul.
O Lord my God, you are very great.
You are clothed with honor and majesty.
Wrapped in light as with a garment.
O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all.
The earth is full of your creatures.
And let us pray. As you cause the sun to rise, O God, bring the light of Christ to dawn in our souls and dispel all the darkness. Give us grace to reflect Christ's glory and let his love show in our deeds, his peace shine in our words, and his healing in our touch, that all may give him praise now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ, you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms. Forgive us for our sins. Grant us wisdom to live in the light and to follow in the way of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. It's good to see you all this morning. We've got a good group. We've got some fast people too. All right. So every once in a while, I know you all are very observant when we come here, and so you typically notice when things change. So do you see anything different this week?
The streamers.
Oh, the streamers are very different. Yeah, why do you think we have those?
There's white.
There's white? That's the other one. You guys are great. So what do you think that means? What are the streamers and the change in color? So now I'm wearing
Easter.
White. What's that mean? Well, that's close. That's what we wear in Easter, so that's a really good guess. What were you going to say, Ellie? And we wear them at Christmas, too? You are on it.
It's an important day of the church.
Yeah, it's an important day of the church. That's exactly right. We wear these. We have streamers. We put the white pyramid out whenever it's an important day of the church. Ellie, what were you going to say? It kind of looks like a compass, sure. And a shepherd's crook. Yes. So we put those out on different special occasions. And so today is one of those special occasions. And it's not Easter, although it will be in about 7 weeks. What do you think the special occasion is today?
It's a special day.
It's a special day. Do you know what it is? It's a big word. It's called transfiguration. You probably don't use that word very much every day, right? So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about one time Jesus was with three of his disciples, and they climbed up a tall mountain. Have you ever been up a tall mountain before?
No.
No? I know some of you have. And they went up, and all of it, yes?
I've climbed up a glacier.
You've climbed up a glacier before. So kind of like that. They climb up a tall mountain, and all of a sudden, things look very different. Jesus doesn't look like himself anymore. How do we know? We've got a book, and we're going to read a story from it in a little bit.
I climbed up a little wall. It has rocks on it on a playground floor.
Yeah, so you know what it's like to climb something.
Like houses. They look like mountains.
Houses can look like mountains? Yeah, when they're really tall, right? So they climbed up a really tall place, and all of a sudden, Jesus looked very different. He looked bright like the sun. Can you imagine that? Do you know what it's like in the morning when the sun is out and everything is glowing and bright? That's what it looked like to be with Jesus. And so the disciples knew that this was something very special and that there was nothing like they had ever seen before. And that's the reason why we call this day special, because this is the day we remember that Jesus brings us the light of God. And that makes everything special. Yes, Andrew. Yeah, that's a great idea. The church is kind of like the mountain. This is the place we come to because this is where God speaks to us and where we see Jesus in our neighbors, in our friends, and in our stories of Scripture. That's exactly right. Yes, Ellie.
And also Jesus drink out a golden cup.
Yes, and we drink out. We have communion sometimes because that's one of the other ways we get close to God. And that's kind of the golden color that it looks like. All right. Well, you have done a great job. I think you know this day is special, and I appreciate you helping me tell this story and sharing all that with everyone out there. Will you have a prayer with me before we go? Will you put your hands together and close your eyes? And you can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for appearing to us. And Jesus Christ, your Son, help us to receive his love. That we would share it with others. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can you hold still for one more minute while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ. that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24. Listen for God's word. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain, in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our New Testament scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. This week, as we prepare for Lent, which is preparation for Easter, we meet Jesus as he is getting ready to walk to Jerusalem. But before he does, he climbs a high mountain with a few of his disciples. He appears before them as light. So on the top of the mountain, the disciples meet God. They see a vision of God's glory. Then as they go to the valley, they'll discover what that really means. From the Gospel of Matthew, listen for God's word to you. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And the disciples heard this. They fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we are here expectant of you. Let your voice sound through the noise of our lives. Let your light shine through the darkness of our days, that we would behold a vision of who you are and who you would have us be, following in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus leads the disciples up a high mountain and appears to them transfigured, shining like the sun. So every year around this time, the scriptures call us up the Mount of Transfiguration to see this vision again. But sometimes we make that ascent on our own. We all have a Mount of Transfiguration. It's that place you go in your life that allows you to see the world in a different way. It's where you go to look and glimpse at the shining light of God. It could be a quiet time of scripture reading and prayer, a loving service to a neighbor, a solitary walk, or work in a garden. There are places for each of us, I hope, somewhere, somehow, where we feel closer to God, where we see a little of the light of God shining through the ordinary clouds of our day. You have your own Mount of Transfiguration. Every Thursday, I try to climb my own, which is how I sometimes think about writing a sermon. And it doesn't always work, as you know, because sometimes, even though God is dog spelled backwards, rarely does God appear on command. And so, if anything, Jesus reminds us of God's radical mischief in coming to us in the most unexpected places, in the poor, humble person of a peasant. And so in our lives, I think we usually try to tag along and keep up, praying and reading and loving in Jesus' wake, doing the best we can, but it often doesn't work. William Faulkner once described the work of writing a novel as building a chicken coop in a high wind. You just grab whatever you can and you try to nail it down in place. I don't think that's a bad description of a life of faith. We can't summon God, but we have our own ways to remember that God is and God has been with us, even though we can't always see it. And so we try to build our concrete life of faith through things like worship and reading and service, nailing down whatever we can find to try to build a life. We give, we pray, we serve, we grow as mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, friends and neighbors. So we grab that board here and put it into place, hoping that something will hold it all together, trusting that maybe God is in the midst of it and will sometimes shine out. So in our own haphazard way, we try to follow Jesus. We climb the Mount of Transfiguration as we worship, hoping that maybe here, once a week, God will meet us through scripture and story and through bread and wine. So like I said, I try to climb the Mount of Transfiguration every week, sequestering myself away to figure out how God is speaking through the text of a story analogous to the ways that God speaks through our lives and conversations and lunches and meetings and all the things I've been listening to through the week. This has the effect, by the way, of breaking one of the cardinal rules of preaching, which is that no one actually cares how the preacher prepares the sermon. Even the preacher doesn't find that really interesting, but I hope you'll bear with me. Here's a glimpse into my world. And I'll forewarn you by saying, my day-to-day life is not very interesting. You could probably guess that. And after worship, you can tell me, Will, your life is not that interesting. And I won't be offended. That's okay, because that's the point of day-to-day life. It never really is that interesting. And so Thursday, I was writing the sermon, and you'll remember that it was a rainy day and a little cold, and there was a rumor of snow. But really, twice in one winter and consecutive weeks, we know that's not going to happen. But we had to try to get our children off to school who were very unfocused by the promise of the weather, and we got ready late, and we made it to school just under the wire. So I sat down to read and to pray and to write. Then Katie came home and said the van had a flat tire, and when she put Peter down for a nap, he kept coughing as he had all night. And so I opined that he probably had another ear infection. We bundled our coughing girls off to school already, but most parents know the sound of a cough and a cough. And so it was decided that I would take the car to get the tire patched, and Katie would take Peter back to the pediatrician. And I'd forgotten to check the leak under the sink where we'd had the dishwasher fixed the other week and a new water line installed. But despite all that, I settled down at the table at the car dealer and had a moment to climb the Mountain of Transfiguration and say with the Apostle Peter, Lord, it is good to be here. Let me build a booth for you. And I imagined God saying in reply, are you really here? Or maybe, as the text of the story says, this is my son, the beloved with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's the hard thing to do, because you spend a lot of your life listening. You listen to your spouse or your children or your parents or your teacher or your boss or the radio in the car or the phone that won't leave you alone or the news as you wind down for the day or the advice of your doctor or your financial planner or above all that voice in your head that says things to you all day long like remember that leak under the kitchen sink. So we have plenty of time to listen. But the voice that calls out to the disciples says something specific. It says, listen to him. A line in our regular prayer for illumination goes, silence in us any voice but your own. It's hard to silence all those other voices. So I told you ahead of time, my day-to-day life isn't that interesting, and now you know it isn't. But I imagine that if you two wrote down a journal of everything that happened in your day, maybe it wouldn't become a bestseller. And a thoughtful observer of your life might make out a few of God's fingerprints on it. But mostly our lives reflect those voices that pull us in every different direction, scattered commitments from family and work that we do our best to try to attend to while all keeping it together. But maybe every once in a while, you sense that there's a little bit more to it. God confronts you with a vision you didn't expect, something to reveal your life for what it actually is in God's eyes, holy and precious, alive with the light of heaven. It doesn't have to be much to allow you to see that glimpse of something else. Maybe that sense that you just can't avoid the light that's there, like when the sun keeps shining through your car, and no matter where you put the visor, you can't avoid it. Sometimes it's in midlife when you've been going through the motions long enough, and you can't help but realize something else is going on. And so maybe it's been a while, but you show up to church a little bit more, hoping that here's a place where that light seems to shine. Or there's a relationship you have, and at some point you realize that there's more to the people being brought around you than just atoms colliding and then spinning off in their own direction. Something seems to be bringing you together. Or maybe it's even during communion or a half-hearted prayer that all of a sudden becomes profound and meaningful, and you get that sense that your life is not quite your own, that there is some other will at work, and all of a sudden you take a second and look and behold as God really sees it. The pastor Eugene Peterson once described a preschool class he would teach every once in a while, and he walked the children around the church around springtime when all the flowers and trees were starting to bloom and the birds were singing, and for a while it seemed the children were really paying attention. They were enchanted, enraptured by what they'd seen. They saw the sparrows that God sees and doesn't let one of them fall to the earth without understanding or noticing. The mystery of life was unfolding before them, and then all of a sudden the precocious four-year-old turned to Peterson and said, "Pastor Pete, why is there no hair on your head?" And like that, the spell was over. The words rushed in, the reasons, the decisions, the voices that we all listen to. And Peterson laments that such wonder can only hold us, even sometimes a child, for only so long. We return to earth through our words in a diminished form. And so we see that in the Apostle Peter, who can only take God's glory for so long. "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, one for you." And you might wonder, if it were really good for them to be there, whether Peter might have just stood with James and John, who have no problem staying silent, and beheld the glory of God in wonder. Maybe we think we do the same, but Peter can't help himself. Ironically, it's only been 12 chapters since Jesus told the disciples not to hide their light under a bushel basket. Why would they want to hide the light of God? So then a voice calls out, and maybe it has the answer. The voice directs our attention to Jesus. "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Maybe we avoid the miracle. We avert our eyes. We don't look for too long because it actually lets us off the hook from listening to what Jesus has to say to us. When we have so many competing demands to our attention, sometimes it's hard to think about the demand that Jesus actually puts on our lives. So we might rather think that Jesus is a prophet who reflects our political beliefs, or maybe he's a self-help guru, or maybe he's a nice idea, because regardless of whether or not he was real, people need something to look up to so that they can order their lives in a pleasing and productive way. And we say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. We've got it figured out." But if we rush into the silence with our own ideas like Peter, or the other voices call us away, we can avoid what Jesus has to say to us. And this is what Jesus has to say. "Give to anyone who asks of you. Whoever does not hate father or mother cannot be my disciple. Give all you have to the poor. My kingdom is not of this world. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." It's no wonder the disciples cowered in fear when the voice of God told them to listen to Jesus. I think we would do the same. So we don't always listen, because sometimes it's easier to hear what the other voices are saying and put our own lives in order. Thomas Kelly was a well-known Quaker spiritual writer. He died young, and during his life he was best known as a scholar and a philosopher on the make. He was one with great potential. And as he rounded 40 or so, his brutal work habits caught up with him, and with his declining constitution, his health deteriorated and he slowed down his great ascent to the top of his field. And his friends noticed. He stopped pushing so hard. He seemed to be more present, more awake. He was unwell, but he was more content with his life, ready to teach rather than publish. He became more interested in matters of the soul. And so one weekend, he gave a talk to a few of his friends to share some of what he had found on his own Mount of Transfiguration. Kelly said, "To those of you in this room who are seekers, to you young and old who have toiled all night and caught nothing, but want to launch out into the deeps and let down your nets for a draft, I want to speak as simply and as tenderly as I can, for God can be found. And there is a rock for your souls, a resting place of absolute peace and joy and power and radiance and security. There is a divine center in your life and can slip in a new absolute orientation to God, a center where you live with Him and out of which you see all of life through a new and radiant vision, tinged with new sorrows and pangs, new joys, unspeakable and full of glory." It's vague, and that's the point. We can only guess, and maybe sometimes if we're lucky, remember what it's like when God shows us a vision of something beyond our ordinary experience that seems to question us, reorient us to a fundamentally new way of being. Whose voice will you listen to? Most of the time, and this is okay, we listen to the voices around us. The daily commitments and chores and tasks that occupy most of our time and, quite frankly, must be done. But sometimes it appears as Jesus' voice that reminds us to care for the poor, or love until we're poured out, or give until we have nothing left. And it's just in that fear and apprehension where it meets the joy of possibility and that understanding that your life may be something more, that a new and expansive world opens. Where we recognize that, yes, God speaks to us. Get up and do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer, first in silence. Gracious and loving God, sometimes the world looks dark and we struggle to see you in the midst of it. The appearance of our days can feel like gray February weather of routines and appointments, work, and obligation, busyness that crowds out your presence in the center of who we are. Let our worship be like light that points the way to you, for we are grateful for all that we have received from your hand. For the light of this new day, for the bright sanctuary lit for worship, for the glow of love shared in this community, we give you thanks. We confess that we are here because you have called us, just as you led disciples into your presence long ago. Bless our church, your church, with a renewed vision, we pray. Be with our session as they discern and make decisions. Be with our Sunday school teachers as they open the mysteries of your word for others. Be with our confirmands, Caroline and Ian, as they grow in your image. Be with those who are looking for ways to serve you through this place. Be with those who are searching, wondering if they might find you, wondering if it is here. Appear to us, Lord, that we would see more of your love and mercy to lighten all our days. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, sometimes it can seem like the world is right on Sunday morning, but we know that that can often hide the difficulty of what awaits us in the world. We ask your presence there too. For those who are sick or undergoing medical treatment, for Lori White, Greg George, Chris Townley. We pray for those whose lives are marked by absence now, those who mourn. We ask your peace for those facing struggles, especially those who face them alone. For challenges that need only your help, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we know this world needs your light. We know that the gifts and the joy of this community bring light. We know that our pains and struggles can give hope too. And so we ask that you would use what we have, our passion for our community, our love of you, our pains and the ways we fall short, to bless this place where you have planted us. We thank you for relationships at Blue Ridge School and pray that you would be there in us. For City of Refuge and other organizations we explore and with whom we partner so that something of your love can be seen in this community. We pray for the idea within each one of us that hasn't even been whispered, but is your love for this community shown through our discipleship. Speak and appear, Lord, even now. Lord, in your mercy. We offer all our prayers to you, Holy God, trusting that in Jesus Christ you will not remain distant, but that by his Spirit your love for us will become visible. And so we pray through him who is your visible love. We pray in the way he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us make God's love visible together as we return our gifts in worship. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for glimpses of your grace and love that appears to us even in ordinary ways, through the fallible lives we live and through gifts such as what we bring today. We ask that you bless our lives, our gifts, our discipleship and following in your way, that something of your light might shine from this place. We pray in Jesus Christ, the eternal light of your love. Amen. You who have heard the word, who have seen a vision of who God is in Jesus Christ, know that the light follows you wherever you go, and that its appearing is often through you. Go in hope of God's appearing, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.